Community by Harry Venning and David Ramsden. Episode 4, Nanny State.
Miss Barker, Mr. Harris, please take a seat. I'm Mrs. Pope.
Hello, Mrs. Pope. Nice to meet you.
No, it isn't, Brian. Why do you always have to be so ingratiating? We are here to complain.
Yeah, I'm not ingratiating, Claire. I'm polite. In conflict situations, I believe that politeness achieves far more than belligerence. Wouldn't you agree, Mrs. Pope?
Oh, do be quiet, you irritating little man.
Beg your pardon?
You heard. Miss Barker, I believe you are one of Mr. Roundtree's clients.
I thought so too, but since Mr. Roundtree has been reluctant to answer our calls, we decided we would just drop into the agency unannounced.
Where is Mr. Roundtree?
Any more from you and you're out.
Where is Mr. Roundtree?
Mr. Roundtree was called away unexpectedly.
I just saw him in this room when you opened the door.
You are really beginning to get on my tits.
Ryan is right, we just saw him. Which means, if he's been called away, he'd have had to have gone through the window.
I cannot possibly comment on that. Perhaps I can be of assistance.
The au pairs that your agency has been sending us have not been up to scratch. We've had 8 in as many months.
May I assure you, Ms. Barker, our reputation demands we maintain the highest possible standards before we match au pairs with families.
Yes, well, I'm glad to hear
it. Which is why we are going to have to strike you from our books.
What?
What?
We sent you 8 of our best au pairs and they left your house screaming like the cast of a slasher movie.
If not all of them.
Miss Barker, we have a dossier on you that is so substantial it makes a Leveson inquiry look like a post-it note.
But we need an au pair.
Well, you're not having one of ours. Yes? What is it?
Mrs. Pope, what you have to understand...
Put your hand down.
Sorry. What you have to understand is that we're both full-time professionals dependent upon child...
As for you, you perv... You are lucky charges weren't brought against you.
Oh, crying out loud. You accidentally climb into the shower with one young Swiss woman and... You're branded for life!
And I'll let you know that prior to using your agency, we had the same au pair for 3 years.
Until you sacked her.
Hello, what can I get you?
Just a latte to go.
Latte
please.
To go?
With skimmed milk.
Skinny latte to go?
No.
Or skinny latte to drink here?
No.
Sorry, I don't understand.
No, I'm just challenging your use of the word skinny. Because many slender people with issues around their body shape find the term actually a little bit abusive. I think it's good to remember sometimes that it's not just the obese who are crushed beneath the jackboots of the body fascists.
We are shut.
So what do you mean you're shut? It's lunchtime.
I've closed early, now go away.
Beg your pardon?
Shoo, scram, you're barred.
I'm barred for ordering a skimmed latte?
Yes.
Look, I have just come in here for a coffee.
Ouch.
And oh, for pity's sake, make her a coffee, Stan.
Oh, all right, Gnarly, if you say so.
Gnarly? Gnarly! Is it really you?
Hello, Claire.
That's too bad, eh?
Gnarly! I didn't see you there.
No, I didn't see you either, but I didn't have to. I heard you.
May I sit and join you while I wait for my coffee?
By all means, you are very welcome to join me. Stan, get a move on with the coffee!
Same old Gnarly. You know, I've missed your idiosyncratic Balkan ribaldry.
Right, there you go.
You know, actually, what the hell? I'm in no hurry. I'll have it here.
What, here?
That's right. Could you pour it from the paper cup into a mug? Remembering to recycle the paper cup in the correct recycling facility.
Oh, just do it, Stan. Believe me, it's easier. This is the woman I told you about, the one I used to work for.
Oh, I should have guessed.
So, Gnarly, Gnarly, Gnarly!
Claire, Claire, Claire!
Gnarly!
Enough! We have established that we remember each other's names.
So how are you?
Oh, I am very well indeed. Thank you for inquiring after my health. And in the spirit of insincere British courtesy, how are you?
I can't complain.
Ha!
Still reading the Daily Mail, I see.
Oh, less so these days since it's gone a bit lefty.
And your political career?
No, not for me. Losing the by-election to that idiot Labour woman, that was the final straw.
Oh, we saw you on TV. We saw you on the news. Getting into the police car.
Look, I did not push her off the stage, okay? I congratulate her with a robust slap on the back. Big fuss about nothing. I mean, the camera crew broke her fall anyway.
Like what you're wearing? It's very intricate. Is it crochet work?
Thank you. It was made for me by my aunt Duska.
Oh, the blind one.
That is Aunt Rosa. Aunt Duska is the one who suffers from memory loss.
Well, it certainly is lovely poncho.
Actually, it's not a poncho. It is a wide-brimmed hat. Only Aunt Duska forgot to put the top on.
Pink, purple, and lime green. It's very interesting.
Yes, Aunt Duska let blind Aunt Rosa choose the wool.
Nolly, nolly, nolly.
Claire, Claire, Claire.
It's so good to see you. How long has it been?
How long has it been since you sacked me from the job I love, separate me from the child I adore, and throw me into the street homeless and alone?
Nearest month will do.
10 months. Or perhaps you mean how long has it been since you apologized for your cruel and heartless behavior? Never!
Now, it wasn't that simple, Gnarly, and you know it.
My throat is clogged with the acrid venom of bile, Claire. I can barely breathe for it.
Actually, I think it's the coffee. It's not very good, is it?
No, Claire, it's not the coffee. It is my enduring sense of betrayal. But you're right, the coffee's disgusting. How is Thomas?
He's very well.
And Brian?
He's just the same.
Oh, dear, I'm sorry.
Thomas talks about you all the time.
Really?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's all in Serbian, but I keep hearing your name mentioned.
He's a lovely boy.
In fact, he's got a Serbian name for me.
Oh, really? What is it?
Tetka.
Tetka?
That's right, Tetka.
You're sure?
I'm sure.
Tetka?
Yes, Tetka. What does it mean?
I don't know.
Well, anyway, Brian and I, we really do appreciate the love and the dedication that you showed to Thomas when you were his nanny.
Ha!
And thank you so much for the text that you sent on his birthday.
Oh, you got that. Good.
Yeah, I remembered this year, but it was a very kind thought.
I love Thomas. I have no problem with Thomas. My problem is with his ungrateful, two-faced, stab you in the back parents.
We got him a train set. For his birthday.
Nice.
Although he can't get near it most of the time because of Brian.
Oh, you're joking. Brian got even fatter?
No. No, Brian. Brian is playing. He's playing with the train set.
Oh, I understand.
Although, yes, Brian has got a bit fatter. Not so you wouldn't recognise him. I mean, after the first three chins, who's counting?
I miss Thomas.
And, yeah, he misses you. You know, he still screams himself to sleep thinking about the fairy tales that you told him.
Sweet. And does he still believe there is an evil goblin beneath the bed?
Yes, he does.
This was me too.
Look, Gnarly, you are welcome to come round and see Thomas any time that you want.
This is not what you said when you threw me into the street. You said never darken my drawers again.
I didn't say that.
You did, as clear as day.
No, I might have said doors.
No, you definitely said drawers.
But that makes no sense.
I know, this is what I think at the time.
Look, Gnarly, I just came in here for a cup of coffee. I saw you, and I thought it would be sociable to catch up on what's been happening since our unfortunate parting of the ways. But since you seem intent on raising this painful and difficult subject, let's do it.
Let's do it? Surely you mean let's do it.
I know what I meant, Gnarly. This is my first language, remember?
Okay, keep your doors on.
Let us have a clearing.
A clearing? Yes, I like the sound of that. It is like clearing the leaves of the road to see where we are going.
Exactly.
It's like clearing the vagrants from the woods using dogs and sticks.
No, nails. No, not really, but you get the idea.
Okay, let's clear. You first.
No, you first.
Well, this is very difficult for me, painful, in so many ways. It was the lowest time of my life.
So should we try the tea instead? Stan, can we have two cups of tea, please?
Righto.
For 3 years I live with you, Claire. You are like my family.
Oh, thank you, Gnarly.
No, it's not a compliment. I love Thomas. I tolerate Brian. I avoid you as best I can. And I'm happy. But then one terrible day, for no reason at all, you say, pack your things, we no longer want you working or living with us. Just like that, as the late Tommy Cooper would have said.
And that is honestly how you remember the events of 10 months ago?
Yes.
Nothing else?
No.
No mitigating factors in our behaviour towards you?
None whatsoever.
We just sacked you for no reason.
Yes, you did.
And this is honestly what you believe?
I swear upon the holy relic of my village.
Your village does not have a holy relic.
Oh, yes, authenticated by Pope Boniface the Degenerate himself. It is one of King Solomon's wisdom teeth, no less. We also have 3 holy gonads that belong to St. Thomas Aquinas. But most people think they are fake. In fact, it gives rise to one of the most famous sayings of our village, never buy a holy relic from a man who can't stop giggling.
Yes, well, I am prepared to swear upon my signed copy of Billy Bragg's biography, still suitable for minors, that it didn't happen like you said it did.
Is there 2 teas?
You gave us good reason to sack you, Gnarly. You pushed us to the limit.
Ah, yes, I see where you're going with this.
Do you? You should.
I admit it. I borrowed Brian's precious collection of Tommy Cooper DVDs without asking him. I mean, but I was homesick, Claire. And Tommy Cooper, he reminds me of the great clown of our country, Bobulinka. As a child, I remember watching Bobulinka on TV every Saturday night after Strictly Come Farming.
It wasn't just the DVDs, and you know it.
What else?
Well, what do you think?
If you want to go over that whole business with the explosives again, I am not interested. As far as I'm concerned, I gave Thomas a bonfire night he will never forget.
And neither will Mrs. Hooper, the play scheme leader.
Ah, yes, Miss Hooper, is she?
Still startled. And she'll be drawing her eyebrows on for the rest of her natural life.
In my language, the words for firework and high explosive are very similar.
I see. And tell me, Gnarly, in your language, are the words visiting Granny and taking Thomas away to Milan for the weekend without his parents' knowledge or permission very similar as well?
Oh, that.
Yes, Gnarly, that.
Okay, I will explain, but first you must understand it was all in Thomas' best interest. Second, and almost as important, it was Benetton. I mean, you do not turn down a photo shoot for Benetton, not if you want your child to have an international modelling career.
Thomas didn't want an international modelling career. He didn't even want to go to Milan. All he wanted to do was see Granny.
Not true. In fact, the grandma story was his idea.
Well, I don't want my son to have a modelling career. I want him to have a childhood. You had absolutely no right to farm him out behind our backs.
Oh, yes, because you're so interested in Thomas, aren't you? How many other mothers would not notice when their child goes away to grandma's and comes back with a suntan and 300 air miles?
I had a lot on at work.
You always have a lot on at work.
But that's true.
At the expense of your child.
Nonsense.
Tetka? You want to know what Tetka means? It means auntie. Thomas thinks you are his auntie.
Oh.
Look, everything I did for Thomas. I didn't push him into modeling. One day we are sitting in this very cafe, minding our own business, when a lady says she is a photographer and would Thomas like to be in a clothes catalogue. Well, one thing led to another. The work starts coming in.
Only it's not work, is it? It's child exploitation.
Thomas loves it. What's more, I set up an account for Thomas, and every penny he earns goes into the account.
Yeah, apart from, it turns out, your agent's fee, finder's fee, management fee, travel expenses, food expenses, clothes allowance, office costs, stationery, and personal grooming, Gnarly.
No nitpicking, Claire. Why can you not be happy for Thomas? Happy that he's doing something he loves, happy that he's traveling the world, and most important of all, happy that he does not look like you and Brian.
And when were you going to tell us, Gnarly?
I'm sorry, Claire. Truly I am. How you found out was unfortunate.
It was more than unfortunate, Gnarly. It was a nightmare come to life. I could have died.
Oh, you're such a one for exaggeration.
Hardly, Gnarly. Hardly. The memory is seared into my brain. I'm not a confident driver at the best of times, and negotiating the Northway flyover leading to the A235 Ring Road requires total concentration, which proved impossible given the vision that loomed into sight on the side of the road that evening. There, enlarged to the size of a house, was my son, my child, my flesh and blood, my Thomas.
sharing a poster with David Cameron!
You know, many parents would be proud if their child was at the centre of a Conservative Party poster campaign.
I was traumatised, Gnarly, even before I drove into the back of the police car.
But you must admit, it was a lovely photo of Thomas.
I am only just out of the neck brace!
The advertising agency tell me that Thomas requires no airbrushing whatsoever, unlike Mr. Cameron.
My Thomas promoting the Conservatives! He doesn't even know what the Conservatives stand for.
Oh, that's not strictly true.
You have indoctrinated my son. That is my job.
Not at all. His mind is still unformed. Although he did donate his fee to the party.
It's just getting worse.
And we met Mr. Cameron. Oh, he's a lovely man. After the photo shoot, everybody went for a drink. And then, would you believe, we accidentally left Thomas in the pub.
Yeah, and you want to know why you were sacked as Thomas's nanny? Let me spell it out. You've proven yourself irresponsible, devious, untrustworthy, insolent, arrogant, and totally unsuited to be around an impressionable and trusting young boy.
And you have shown yourself to be unworthy of motherhood, the holiest gift from God, after raspberries, of which my country is the world's largest exporter and proud of it.
Goodbye, Gnarly. I should like to say it's been a pleasure bumping into you, but I'm afraid I can't. I can, however, wholeheartedly hope with all of my heart that it never happens again.
The feeling is mutual, with knobs on.
Goodbye!
Goodbye!
Gnarly, please, will you come back and work for us?
Forgive me, perhaps, my flimsy grasp of English, but I feel I am receiving somewhat mixed signals.
Gnarly, I haven't been altogether truthful with you.
Oh, my goodness. I'm shocked to the very core of my existence.
Despite all the impressions to the contrary, it isn't a complete coincidence that I am here in this cafe at exactly the same time as you. I mean, the truth is that I saw you in town, and I followed you here.
I know.
You knew that I was following you.
As a little girl walking around the village, I quickly learned to keep my eyes open, my reaction sharp, my awareness keen, and the knowledge any time, night or day, I could be followed.
By the secret police.
Oh, by my little brother, Augie, honestly, Claire. You have such a stereotypical view of Eastern Europe.
Oh, I do apologize.
Although, when he grew up, my little brother, Augie, did join the secret police. And he learned how to follow people properly.
Yeah, that's fascinating. If we can drag ourselves away from your village...
I tell you, Christmas that Augie came to arrest Daddy and nobody saw him coming, oh, we were all so proud!
So anyway, I faked this accidental meeting because I wanted to talk to you.
And suggest I come back to work for you?
Yes. Yeah, it's a bit of a shock, I imagine.
No, not really. Before you arrived, Brian already sent me a text suggesting I come back to work for you.
There you are. Everything's out in the open.
Well, not quite. You have used some very strong, very unflattering language to describe me, Claire, and you cannot just take it back.
How long have you been in this country, Gnarly?
4 years.
4 years? And you still haven't got the hang of good, old-fashioned English irony?
Irony?
Irony? Irony is when you say something, but you mean exactly the opposite.
Oh, I believe you, Claire.
Thank you, Gnarly.
There, I'm getting the hang of this irony quite quickly.
Well, the point is, well, let's just forget the David Cameron thing and the explosives thing and the DVD thing.
And the laptop in the bath thing.
The laptop in the bath thing? That was you. You told us that was Thomas.
Oh, I thought we were forgetting about it.
What I'm trying to say is that you haven't been very easy to replace. Like the information on the laptop.
So, you have had other nannies?
Yes, Gnarly, I confess that we have, but we've had to let them go. We've had to cut a long story short, they were too young, they were too inexperienced, and frankly, Thomas didn't take to them.
Oh, but I hear Brian did. He's a small world, the world of nannies.
No, because what happened? Brian ran a shower for himself. He went to get a towel, and when he came back, the girl was in there.
Keep saying it, Claire. Eventually you will believe it.
Yeah, that was unfortunate. Okay, but the others, they just weren't up to the job.
The word on Nanny Street is that nobody will touch you with a large pole.
With a barge pole.
Barge pole is a large pole.
The truth is, it's us, it's Brian and I, who are getting more picky.
So you try to replace me. It doesn't work out, and now you want me back?
Gnarly, you know, you can always be trusted to cut to the chase. That is one of the things I have actually always, not a lie, admired about you.
Claire, we have saying in my country.
Oh, great. See, I hope that you would. We've all missed the colourful and thought-provoking sayings from your country.
It goes like this. It is an approximate translation.
Go on.
Take your job and stuff it up your arse.
Right. And that is your final answer?
Final answer. Unless I can phone a friend and he can tell you to stuff it up your arse.
Well, do you know something, Gnarly? I should thank you. I should thank you for saving me from the biggest, stupidest, dumbest mistake Brian has ever made. Good riddance.
Rot in hell.
Up yours.
No, may you grow beets in your belly and pee bore.
How dare you? I have no idea what that means.
Oh, no, no. Stick around. I have hundreds of root vegetable-based insults. I would be happy to throw at you.
Yeah, can I just stop you there? Because this isn't really going the way that I'd planned.
Well, things came to a very bad end between us, Claire, but there were good memories before that. Perhaps we should cherish them and just move on.
Yeah, or we could make some brand new memories that we can all look forward to looking back on.
Oh, Claire, your gibberish moves me. Please, go on.
If I lost my temper earlier, it's only because Brian and I, and most of all, Thomas, are desperate to have you back in our home and in our lives.
Claire, your words are touching.
No, they come from a sincere place.
Oh, dear.
Was something wrong, Gnarly?
No. I just think of Thomas' little face. I well up.
Oh, he loves you, Gnarly. He misses you.
My heart's breaking, Claire.
Yeah, our hearts are breaking, too. Come home, Gnarly.
Okay, come home.
We've kept your room for you.
My room.
It's waiting for you.
Your room is bigger.
You can have our room.
I'm choked up. I don't know what to say.
Just say, Gnarly, say you'll do it. Say you'll come back home and be Thomas's beloved nanny once again.
I want for nothing more.
So you'll do it?
No.
What?
Prior commitment. I have a job already. I can't just walk out of it.
Where?
In one of the big Georgian houses on the common. The man is a rich banker. His wife is a barrister, and I keep house and look after the two adorable children, Orlando and Theseus.
But think of Thomas. Thomas will be so upset to hear that you aren't coming back.
I know, but imagine little Orlando and Theseus' disappointment. If I were to tell them I am not spending Easter with them, in their house on the beach in Antigua.
Is it the money?
Of course not. Nor is it about having my own car or my own expense account, my own flat or my own private healthcare. It is about the children.
They're nice, are they?
Who knows? They are away at boarding school.
Gnarly, you've been playing me like a violin. You had no intention of coming back, did you?
Sorry, Claire, but as we say in my country, I know which side my beetroot is buttered. Unless...
Unless what?
Unless you want to make me more attractive offer than I am currently enjoying with my present employer.
Oh, but, Gnarly, you know us. We're hardly on big money. There isn't a lot of room for financial negotiation.
But from what you say, you're desperate to have me back.
Well,
and if you want something really badly, you find a way to pay for it.
I suppose there are definitely several economies that Brian could make, and we suppose we could think about making your hours more flexible.
And shorter.
And shorter.
I have use of a car at the moment.
You can use our car.
The dented one with the paint from the police car.
We'll get a new one.
I'd like an advance on my wages.
I suppose we could do that.
I haven't seen my family. Oh, such a long time.
Oh, gosh, you must take time off then. You must visit them. The problem is, Gnarly, I don't think I could pay for that because I haven't got enough money in my current account.
That's okay, Claire. I still have your credit card details.
Right. Do we have a deal?
Yes. One more thing. An apology.
Oh, Gnarly, there's no need to apologise.
Mummy, Claire, you!
An apology?
Yes, Claire!
You have me over a barrel, don't you, Gnarly?
I love that phrase. We have it in my country, but it means something entirely different.
Not in this case, it doesn't, I don't think. You know, you really don't leave me much choice.
There is always a choice, Claire. You can choose to walk away and struggle with the chaos of finding a childminder on a daily basis. I can choose to go back to work for the Jefford McKeiths.
Jefford McKeiths? I know a woman called Jefford McKeith.
It is a very common name. It's not going to be her.
No, we do Pilates together. What's her name? Yeah, that's it. Bathsheba.
Again, it's a very common name. So, our deal. Let's shake on it.
She's a barrister. She lives in one of those Georgian houses on the common. And most interesting of all, she was telling me that they had to sack their nanny because, what was it she said? She was too bad-tempered, sulky, and obstreperous.
And you believe that's me?
Yes, Norley. Yes, Norley, I do. And what's more, I believe you have gone through this whole elaborate masquerade to extort the best possible deal from me whilst exacting the most punitive possible revenge.
Well, you can believe what you want, Claire.
Thank you, Norley. I will. Perhaps we should renegotiate, given your changed circumstances. I mean, the fact that you are sitting in a park cafe nursing a cup of tea suggests to me that you are extremely available for hire.
Oh, does it?
Yes, it does.
But you couldn't be more wrong. Mrs. Jefford McKeith did have a nanny, who she was obliged to sack for all the reasons you said. I was the nanny Mrs. Jefford McKeith hired to replace her, and I am very happy in my well-paid work, and this is the last time I am ever going to let you insult me, Claire, or call me a liar. This is the parting of the ways.
Yes, this is just another one of your negotiating ploys.
The time for games is over.
Yeah, Norley, yeah.
Enough, get out!
Oh. Sorry, forgive me. No, Norley, I'm sorry. It's all these years of social work that made me rather cynical and mistrustful. Please forgive me, Norley. We were so close to an understanding.
Oh, I have an understanding, all right, Claire. I understand very well.
Look, we need you.
I don't care.
Thomas needs you.
It isn't going to work, Claire. Forget it.
Norley.
Not now, Stan.
Oh, I give in totally to all your demands.
I am a proud woman. You cannot buy my dignity.
Seriously, Norley.
Please, Stan, do you mind?
Norley, I'm begging you.
Norley.
Give us a minute, please.
I've given you more than a minute.
Just name your price.
Okay, Claire, you convince me.
Norley.
Now is not the time, Stan.
Don't talk to me about time, Norley. You're taking the rise. I gave you half an hour break an hour ago. This is coming out of your wages. Now get your apron back on and start clearing these tables.
Whatever you say, Stan.
Bloody right. And when you've done that, you can unclog the toilet. Again.
So, Norley, can you start Monday?
Well, Monday will be fine, Claire, yes.
You've been listening to Claire in the Community by Harry Venning and David Ramsden. Starring Sally Phillips, Alex Lowe, Nina Conti, Richard Lumsden and Sarah Tom. The producer was Katie Tyrrell.